time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day. The Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. Pastor Shalom here, Fleming's here, and we're glad to join you on Preparation Day. Yes, my friends, it's the 29th of September, almost in October, and we have an opportunity to worship the Lord on the day before the Sabbath. So get ready for the Sabbath. Sun sets early, so don't add any unnecessary things to your Friday. That's my little tip for the day. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time. Okay, I'm not hearing her. Okay, she's having some challenges getting in. Okay, I'm going to undo your microphone. Okay, you should be live, hon. Go ahead. No, you're not hearing. We're not hearing you. So I don't know whether you're sure you don't have the mute on. Anyway, I'll have opening prayer and then maybe go out and sign back in and see what happens. Okay, we can hear you now. Well, I thought we could. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Bless us as we worship you this morning. We thank you. Bless our technology, and we pray that all will go well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time now for our opening song. It's about time.
It's about time for the coming of It's about time, oh Christian, it's about time, it's about time for the coming of Christ, oh King. It's about
title this morning is From Women's Lib to Adam's Rib. From Women's Lib to Adam's Rib. My brothers and sisters, we live in a society of gender identification disaster. Now, we think of gender identification as homosexuality and transgender and those kinds of things, and God is not in that. And I always quote Jeremiah 1:5. God says, and let me pray, Father, bless us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet. So God knew all about us before we came out. He set us aside for holy use before we came out. Our calling in life, our career was determined before we came out, and our gender, because he was a prophet, not a prophetess, okay? So it's really a slap in the face to God when we say, I'm a boy when you are really a girl, or I'm a girl when you're really a boy. But that's just one aspect of the gender challenge, brothers and sisters. We have men that want to do women things and women that want to do men things. And I'm not in any way saying that we can't have a balance. Nothing wrong with a man cooking a meal. Nothing wrong with a woman chopping some wood, okay? But my point being made simply is that there has been, and unfortunately, when women do what men do, historically, like they got paid less. They didn't get the recognition that. So there has been a suppression of the gifts in women, and that partially led to women's lib. What does lib stand for? Liberation. So that means that there was a type of, or at least perceived and sometimes real, bondage as it relates to that. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, you know, God had a plan for a healthy, happy home. And men don't see often their role in taking care of the family, in providing for the family. And women don't see their godly role in keeping home and keeping home happy and making sure everything is pleasant and sunshine, you see. And so we have this misconception. And then you work together. That doesn't mean, again, that the man can't come home and watch the kids or cook the meal from time to time or whatever the case might be. And I'm not even saying, I know sometimes there might be a medical doctor that's a female and the husband, she's just busy because of the work, maybe even ministry that she's doing. And so the husband assumes more of the role of caring for the children than the average man, okay? But the question is, he's still the head of the home. She's still a help meet for him. We're going to learn that the proper way of saying that is with a pause, a help meet for him. That means a helper that is created for him that was designed by God, chosen by God would be the better way to say it, to help him, okay? So, from women's lib to Adam's rib. Let's see God's original plan. Let's go to Genesis 2:7. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Okay, so God formed man of the dust of the ground. So where did man come from? Dust. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We go down to Genesis 2, verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So, brothers and sisters, we can say that man and every land beast were all made from dust. And of course, we are a land-based creature, mankind. So all land-based creatures were made out of dirt. I'll repeat that. Every land-based creature was made out of dirt, except a woman. Let's read on. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him, appropriate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. There you have it. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. You see, you were never in bondage in God's plan. This is bone of my bones, flesh and flesh of my flesh. A woman with a third grade education put it this way. She was his second self. They were one. Okay? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. We think of Adam and Eve as the first names of our first parents, but that really was not the first name of our first parents. There is a scripture that says, and they were called Adam, I believe, is what the scripture says, and she was a part of man, woe man, from the womb of man. That was the name. She got Eve after sin, brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean she had no identity. She was just a part of him. They were one. That's what I'm trying to help you understand what the Bible teaches. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Doesn't mean you can't take care of your mother in her old age or your father in his old age, but your wife is the queen of the home, brothers and sisters. And it is a blessing to take care of an elderly person. It is a challenge, but it is a blessing. And when you do that, God will bless you. He will prosper you because you were obedient to him and you made that sacrifice. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All that means, brothers and sisters, that wasn't like what you see on the beach and all of that. They didn't even have what they had on the beach, but they were covered. That's right, brothers and sisters, they were covered. Let me go to the book of Psalms, chapter 104. Psalm 104, I believe that's the verse we're looking for. Psalms 104. Okay, yes. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 1. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Okay, so we were made in the image of God. That's said in Genesis 1:27. I didn't read it, but that's what it says. And so man was made in God's image, and it says God is clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. So they were clothed with this garment of light that gave them honor and majesty. So they weren't naked in the sense that we think of nakedness. They were naked, the Bible would say, based on our understanding, because they did not wear anything made with wool, made with linen, made with silk. No animal had to die so they could wear some clothes. There was no death. And so God clothed them with honor and majesty, this bright light that covered their body parts, brothers and sisters. So they had clothing. It just was not artificial. What we wear is artificial clothing, and God does want us to cover. Some people would say, oh, we're going to be like the Bible. You know, you got fanatical people out there. We're going to be like the Bible. They didn't have any clothing on. And so that's what you see out in the world today, friends. That's not God's plan. God did cover them. They were just covered with honor and majesty. So that shows you a little bit about dress reform. Your dress reform should best reflect honor and majesty. That doesn't mean it has to be gold and pearls and all of that. But it's honorable, lifting up the human race. You know, you're not pulling somebody down by having them focus on a certain part of your body. You know, it amazes me sometimes when I see how we pose. You know, we like to pose in sexual poses. We will turn to the side so that our bottom is shown, you know, or we'll look in the mirror and pull down the dress just so the cleavage can show before the picture. You like people to look, but you don't want them to touch. Okay, brothers and sisters, that's demoralizing. That's not honor and majesty. That's not honor and majesty. That's dishonor and slavery. That's called pulling people down into sin. That's not honor and majesty. So I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that honor from women's lip to Adam's rib. In God's plan, a woman and a man are equal. I will repeat, in God's plan, the woman and the man are equal. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, you're going to find that that equality never ended. However, there was a change of roles after sin, okay? And I'll explain why. It says, this is to the woman, this is after sin. They both had the snake, which is represented the devil, the woman and the man had consequences to sin. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Okay? Does that mean that she's a slave? No. Because a lot of people, we look at things based on our own human understanding. That's why a lot of people join the Nation of Islam, because they read about the slave and his master in the Bible. That was an employer-employee relationship. And in their culture back then, that was normal, and that's what they were called, that's what they were referred to. But it did not mean that they could abuse and they didn't have to pay. And they, you know, there might have been arrangements where sometimes in their economy, somebody could work off a debt, you know, that type of thing. But in God's economy, you couldn't even be in debt for more than 7 years, brothers and sisters. You couldn't be in debt for more than 7 years. How? Try that when the government's about to shut down because of greed and avarice and politics and things of this nature. We weren't even ever supposed to have a Federal Reserve. And it's not federal, and it has no reserves, brothers and sisters. Thomas Jefferson said, if we allow a central bank to come into our country, our children will wake up homeless on the very ground their fathers conquered. They knew the dangers of centralized banking, where one entity would control the economy of the world and of different nations. That's why in the Constitution, Congress had the ability, and only Congress, to coin money. And so they had their own money backed by gold, brothers and sisters. It's all gone, pretty much, we believe. And entities, maybe like the Vatican and others, have a lot of that gold these days. But nonetheless, God is still on the throne, and he's still going to bless those who are faithful. What am I trying to say? I'm just trying to say we've come a long way from the truth and the ways that the Lord has established for us. And so when we talk about rule over, that is simply that it didn't do away with she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It didn't do away with God didn't take a bone from his head so she could rule over him. He didn't take a bone from her feet, from his feet, so she could be trampled under him. She is still his equal, okay? And this is the best way it works. Trust me, I know. When you love your spouse, you listen and to her and you listen to him, okay? And you try to come up with a workable compromise, not a compromise of principle, if you were to disagree. Let's say you're shopping for a home. Well, let's face it, brothers, we're not going to be in that home as much as the wife is in that home, so we should really, really, really listen, okay? Because she's going to be in that home. That's her responsibility to make that home a workable situation. Now, of course, some of us are older and we don't have children to raise, but the woman is generally doing more of the responsibility of raising the children. She needs some things for her convenience and comfort, if at all possible. And so, you know, we should listen. Maybe she might not, the kitchen might be too small in the house that you want to buy. But women, we sisters, we should listen, because maybe what we want might be more than the budget can handle, and then we end up having divorces because we just can't handle the financial burden. So we work together. We sit down and we reason. We look at the budget. We look at the needs. And so we listen to each other and we try to please one another. Now, there will come times in a relationship where after we've done all of that, we still can't see eye to eye. Brothers and sisters, God has determined that somebody has to have the final decision, and that would be the man. That's how it works, friends. And, you know, this is not this, I'm not listening to her, I'm ruling over her, you shut up, woman, I'm the head of the house type stuff. That's not, we should, if you have to say that, something's real wrong. Now, maybe something's wrong because your wife is a woman's liver, okay, and she's not realizing she was already free. She was made free. The only being, land-based being, that didn't come from dirt. She was created free, but she was created with a role to be a helper. That's what the role is, brothers and sisters. And it's a beautiful role. And she's happiest in that role and when she has a godly husband. So, you know, there's so much challenges, many challenges that go on. Most marriages end in divorce or unhappiness. Even if they stay together, they're unhappy. Brothers and sisters, that means we didn't do something right. We didn't consult God in the mix and bring God into the picture. So God's plan for man was that he would have mankind. That's the male gender is what I'm talking about. No, I'm sorry. God's plan, because mankind would be both genders. God's plan for man was that he would have a helper appropriate for him. God chooses our wives appropriate for us. That's why it says he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So it's a mistake for women to be out manipulating and pushing and trying to attract the attention of a man. Trust me, ladies, if you are godly, godly men will find you. If you are truly, if it's God's will, you will have someone by your side. That's that. Just be godly and do his will. Make God first, okay? If you study God's plan, our first goal was to make sure of our relationship with God. The second goal was to solidify our life work. And then, if it's God's will, he would give us a life mate. That's for men and women. And we get it all mixed up. We fall in love in school, don't even have our life work. And so we end up with lives of struggle and misery because we don't have a trade or whatever. We start getting married and having kids, and we haven't done anything enough to make sure that we can make it in life, you see. So that's putting the relationship before the life work. And then sometimes we mess up even more. We put the relationship before the life work and our commitment to God, and then we're in triple trouble, okay? So if we get our lives right with God, be secure in Christ, and then make sure that we are doing what God wants you to do, that you've shown your life work, he's shown you your life work, and then if it's God's will, just pray about it. He will give you a life mate if it will bring happiness. Psalm 84:11, no good thing. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So that means our job is to walk uprightly. And if you want a spouse, he will provide that for you if it will be a blessing. So women's lib to Adam's rib, we need to get back to God's original plan where a man and a wife love each other as equals. They listen to one another. They hear each other's perspective. They don't enter into anything with a it's my way or the highway mindset. And she will recognize when it's time, as she's led by the Spirit, to just let her husband do his thing, you know. And he will recognize if he's led by the Spirit, just let her do her thing. You know, there's some, you know, we don't have to be by each other's side every moment of the day. Women need a little girl time, personal time. Men need a little time, man cave time. And I'm not talking about time to do foolishness and watch pornography and those types of things. But you have to be able to be by yourself to hear from God. You know, one of the things as I leave this subject, Adam had time to know his God before he had a life mate. Eve had time to know her God before she was brought to Adam. So you as an individual must have your personal relationship with God. So if you're always in each other's faces, you can't spend time with God. And that's a problem in a lot of marriages. Women are like, or men, you know, she can't be out of my sight. So how's she going to go pray in her closet? She can't be out of your sight. Come on, man. You know, that's why you're not working, because you just want to watch her all day. And you're not going out to work. And that's why you're not accomplishing what you should be accomplishing. Women, you're all concerned about what your husband's doing all the time. And so God wants us. And we've been hurt. We've all been hurt. And we have to overcome that hurt. But God can help you overcome that hurt if you've been hurt or done wrong, my friend. God is good. He's a merciful God. And if you humble yourself, he will help you through that. But you've got to have a loving, trusting relationship. If you don't trust him, you should marry him. If you don't trust her, do not marry her. You know, there are some people that want to hold, they might have a little money, but they don't want the person they're about to marry, whether it's the man or the woman, to know their financial status, okay? That's wrong. That means you don't trust him or you don't trust her, and it's not going to work. The marriage is not going to work because it's based on a principle of mistrust. If you know you have money and you think people are enamored by money, you don't need to get married then, because I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you right now, money doesn't move me. I mean, if I'm God gave me my wife. If she was a poor pauper, if she was a multimillionaire, it wouldn't mean anything different to me. She would be the one that is the helper that God gave for me. That's God's plan, my brothers and sisters, and we are happiest in his plan. So let's put aside the worldly thinking, and let's learn God's plan. A woman is equal. A man is equal. They come together, bone of bone, flesh of flesh, and she's his second self, so to speak. She's part of him, so he would not abuse her. She's part of him. So she wouldn't push him down. She would want to lift him up. And only the rulership is he takes the leadership role, okay? And there's certain things that as God leads in the family's life, he just takes his role and she takes her role. But when they have to make decisions as a family, they should be trying to please one another and listen to one another and make sure the other person is happy. I wake up with three questions, brothers and sisters, and I think you should too if you're married. Ask God, how can I please you? Ask God, how can I please my spouse? And then ask God, how can the two of us be a blessing to the world? If you wake up every morning with those three questions, and you mean it, you will have a happy marriage. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for the truth. We thank you very much for the wisdom that you've given in the Word of God. Many marriages, Lord, are in trouble. Many have already been dissolved, all because we didn't understand what you wanted for. And so, Father, we ask that those marriages that are still hanging on and those marriages that are the marriages that are about to be entered into, they'll be entered into with grace and solemnity and prayer and peace, and that the principles of the Word of God will be of utmost importance to the man and the woman. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this wonderful gift called marriage as one of the twin institutions that came out of Eden, the Sabbath and marriage. We ask that you would help us to be the right example, for the family is the foundation of the church, society, and the nation. And that's why we are in so much trouble. It's because we didn't grow up in godly families. There are very few godly families that birth the politicians of today, that birth the legislators of today, that birth the judicial leaders or officials of the day. And Lord, we know that it's part of Satan's plan, so he can have his agents in place when the mark of the beast is finally brought upon the world. We ask that you would bless us now, that your Holy Spirit will fill us and help us to have a happy home. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're going to take a little break now. We'll hear the torso song. And after that, we will hear from Sister Lenny, and she's going to share with us on the subject, the social results of uncontrolled appetite. The social results of uncontrolled appetite. At this time, we'll hear the torso song.
Mm-hmm. the one of a kind. Place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. At this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. We'll hear from Sister Lenny on the social result of uncontrolled appetite. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy, happy Friday. Social results of uncontrolled appetite. Against every transgression of the laws of life, nature will utter her protest. She bears abuse as long as she can, but finally the retribution comes, and it falls upon the mental as well as the physical powers. Nor does it end with the transgressor. The effects of his indulgence are seen in his offspring, and thus the evil is passed down from generation to generation. The youth of today are a sure index to the future of society, and as we view them, what can we hope for, that future? The majority are fond of amusement and averse to work. They lack moral courage to deny self and to respond to the claims of duty. They have but little self-control and become excited and angry on the slightest occasion. Very many in every age and station of life are without principle or conscience, and with their idle, spendthrift habits, they are rushing into vice and are corrupting society, until our world is becoming a second Sodom. If the appetites and passions were under the control of reason and religion, society would present a widely different aspect. God never designed that the present woeful condition of things should exist. It has been brought about through the gross violation of nature's laws. This is coming from Councils on Diet and Foods, page 120. May you be a blessing to yourself and to someone else today. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Roll call time. Time for sharing and caring. For those on the call, just press star 6. Those on the call, press star 6 if you have any question or comment. And on the Facebook, we have the country of Kenya represented. We have Georgia represented. We have South Carolina represented. We have Sister Vicky saying good morning to us from Georgia. We have Brother Brian from Kenya saying good morning. We have the country of Greece with my dear brother. I'm going to say his name. Thank God. You have a nice little story behind that. He told me his name, and I was saying, yes, thank God. I said, what is your name? He said, thank God. I said, yes, thank God. What is your name? Thank God. That's his name. Thank God. Praise God for thank God. All right. We have Sister Glorious from Virginia saying good morning to us all. We've got Peyton from North Carolina saying good morning. And we have Virginia again represented there. So we have on the call Ohio represented. We have Ohio represented again. Ohio represented again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware again. We have Alabama again. We have Oklahoma. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma again. We have New York. We have Georgia, and we have Connecticut. Amen. Praise God for each one. Star 6, if you'd like to share anything, we'd love to hear from you. Press star 6. We've got Sister Odessa on the line. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Good morning, Pastor, and everyone on the broadcast. It's truly a blessing this morning. I am so glad to be on this morning. And, Pastor, I thank you so much for the message this morning. It truly hit home. And you know, you guys, I've been asking for a husband, but you know, listening to Pastor this morning, oh, Pastor, that's a blessing. Thank you so much for that message, and thank I God. Really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. I'm taking everything into consideration. May God Amen. Bless you, and may God continue to bless the ministry. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
You too, Sister Odessa. Praise God for you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? We've got about 17 minutes to the top of the hour. We normally go at least to the top of the hour if we need to, and it's okay to end a little early, too. All right. We have Sister Leilani now. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I thank you for your prayers for Joshua, and today is the day he is traveling to are being deployed to Saudi Arabia, so continue to pray for traveling mercies for him, and also be with Mia, his fiance, because I know this is a difficult time for her too.
Amen, amen, definitely, definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right, is there anyone else that would like to share anything? And we already said the good mornings from those on Facebook. And if there is anyone, just press star 6 at this time. And we have our dear one from, I think, Sister Lori from Ohio. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your ministry. I was wondering, does eating cooked produce, vegetables, change the texture of your feces as opposed to eating it raw?
So basically we're asking, if you eat cooked vegetables, does that change the texture of your feces versus raw? It can. It can, as long as we're eating a good amount of raw with plenty of roughage, you still should have a good bowel movement. But yeah, the texture could change if it's cooked versus raw.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Be blessed.
And we've got Sister Corinthia on the line. Good morning, Sister Corinthia.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for that. Thank you for that beautiful sermon this morning. I like the title, From Adam's, From Women's Lib to Adam's Rib. You know, I was never one on. I never really was in support of women's lib because, you know, I just saw the damage that it has done to our men. So I thank you for that sermon. What I wanted to ask is, did you record this by any chance?
Yes, all of our morning broadcasts are recorded, And easiest way to get them is to go to torwm.org. Now, one day, brothers and sisters, we're going to consolidate and have everything on one site, but right now we have several sites, so the recordings of the broadcast are at torwm.org. So it's our daily podcast. You can get it there. But there is also a telephone broadcast playback, and you can dial. I'll just go ahead and give it to you real quick, and then if you were to go, the playback number is 267-807-9613, but you will have to put in the access code, and that's 635-270. I think it lasts for a pound. But again, 267-807-9613, and then you have to put in an access code, 635-270. There is a reference number, but it will always play the most recent. So the reference number, you'd have to get that from the broadcast. It's usually posted on torwm.org. So if you go there, just know that you can actually see. It's usually the same day it's posted, and it will have the reference number for people who wanted to get it from the call.
So the other way you're saying is to go to Torso, and what do they hear? Do they hear
torwm.org. Torso.org is our main site, but our blog is put on torwm.org. That's going to change, and we'll let you all know when that changes. So everything would be accessed just by going to Torso, and you'll be able to do that in the future. But right now, we haven't consolidated all the sites yet, but we will.
Okay, as long as we have access to the recording, that's good. And, thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. I'll be calling you a little later, so maybe hang out near your phone after the broadcast.
Okay,
all right. And we've got Sister Lori back on the line. Good morning, Sister Lori.
Good morning. I had a couple more questions about vegetables. Are there any effects of not washing or rinsing the vegetables before cooking or consuming them?
Well, you know, your vegetables are grown outside unless you grow them hydroponically, and even then that could still have some bugs or parasites or things of that nature on them. So you definitely, it's probably better to wash them just to, you know, make sure that you have, you know, parasites, bugs, things of that nature. And, of course, if they were not grown organically, there could be some chemicals. So you can get some of that off if you wash them.
Thank you. I have one other question. Is it all right to wash or rinse your produce right away, or is it best to do it right before you eat or cook them?
I'm going to ask my wife if she wants to chime in on that. I guess the question is, can we wash it ahead of time? I think it's fine to do that. Or should we wash it right before? I know we can do that, but I don't know if she has anything she wants to add to that.
That's a preference. It is your preference, sister.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else, dear sister?
I think that's it for now. Be blessed, everyone.
Yes. Bless. God bless you, too. All right, friends. There's no one else in the queue. There was a text message that came. Let's see if that's okay. That was just a request for the information on free conference call. So we'll get that to that individual. All right, then. So God bless you, friends. It's at this time, we'll go ahead and close out with our closing prayer. I'd ask my wife if she would have our closing prayer at this time.
Yes, I just want to make one comment to that as well. If you're buying foods that are not organic, I would definitely clean them when you're getting them, because you have to understand that when you're buying non-organic foods, it's been sprayed. And they say that usually the farmers do sprays between 3 to 5 times during the harvest season. or just during the growing season. So you want to think about that. If you are eating foods that are soft, like fruits that are soft, have soft skin, you don't want to get those. You want to make sure you're getting those organic. So things like peaches and your strawberries, things that have really soft skin, you don't want to buy them unless they are organic, because the pesticide will go into through the skin, because the skin is so soft, and it really does contaminate the fruit. So the fruit would be any, it wouldn't be any good really for you to go ahead and eat, because you are going to be taken in. You can't get that pesticide out of the fruit once it has entered into the skin. Your tougher skins, like maybe apples, you know, pineapple, we just try to avoid anything that is non-organic. So we try to grow our own as much as we can, and we buy organic. But it is a preference for how you want to clean your vegetables, but I would, in your fruits, but I would definitely err on caution if I'm going to be buying things like that. But, you know, we tell people do organic and do non-GMO so that you can avoid those types of things. Even with my garden and the vegetables that I take from it, I still clean them. And it's an organic vegetable garden, but I still clean them when I bring them in. And I always just think it's a good idea to do that. But it's a preference. I can't tell people what to do. That's going to be based on what you want to do, but your preference. My preference is that I do clean mine. And it, I believe we still have, do we have another caller? Is that what you're trying to say to me, sweetie?
Yeah, we have someone from Ohio.
Go ahead.
Okay, dear one, good morning. Make sure you unmute your phone from... Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I just want to say I've been listening to Laura. She's a great cook, and she introduced me to the SCA broadcast. Now I'm Pentecostal, but I just can't... Every morning I set my alarm is set, and I listen to the SCA broadcast. I just can't get around it, but it's really been a blessing to me. I'm walking John out of Ohio. I don't want to say maybe the city I'm from, but I really enjoy your broadcast, and the fact that she was head of the people in the seat for those two elderly people, I would just like to put my two cents with it and asking the Lord in the name of Jesus, whomever the Lord was talking about, you know, the elderly people that made the Lord, you know, bless them even as the age advances. But I am just happy. I just can't get over listening to the broadcast and the torso song. And I'm really happy. I'm serious. I'm really happy. If you only knew who I was, I'm all over the world. But I'm just so thankful. But I will continue to listen to the broadcast. But Laura is a great cook. She, oh, wow. Oh, excellent. But I don't want to take up too much time. But the message today about the women, you know, you and I, we could talk at length about this. You see, but I'm just grateful that I'm able to tune into the SCA broadcast. So in the name of Jesus, may all that hear my voice be blessed and protected by the blood of Christ in Jesus' name. But I will be calling back. Now, I'm a first-time caller now, and I'm 77 years old, but I'm still in good shape and fit for real. So thank you, ever, and may the Lord. Oh, let me just say this. When I first met Lori, and she introduced me to E.G. White's commentary, I mean, when I was a kid, my father had E.G. White. I was so happy. I have so many books from the SCA and E.G. White, and I am so thankful for that. And I just want to say, Lord, may the Lord bless Lori, and she's getting ready to get a blessing that, unparalleled. She's going to get a wonderful blessing for this. In Jesus' name. So thank you, Eva, and may the Lord bless all y'all. But you'll be hearing from me again. And that's all I have to say, because I know you have to go. Okay, good brother. Thank you again.
Yes, my brother. And I will say this, if it's okay with you, I have noted your phone number. My number has a 706 area code. Can we give you a call and chat a little bit today?
Well, you know, I have so much I have to do, and this is the first of the month, and we veterans, we get our checks and stuff. But it would be nice if you would maybe in a couple of days just call, and if I see it, I'll return a phone call.
We just like to get acquainted, and we appreciate you coming on. And I will tell you, there's not going to be any denominations in heaven. Everybody's going to be just a follower of Christ. So we're glad that you're on, and you can tell anybody and everybody. We're not focusing on preaching to Seventh-day Adventists. We're just preaching the truth. So thank you for coming on. You are more than welcome here.
Well, yeah, you can call me, Pastor. You can still call me. And if I see the number, I'll return the call. But today I have so much to do. But again, I just want to thank Lori for introducing me to the broadcast. And I had a trip to Torso, and I listen to the song every morning. And I'm just happy. I really am. So we will speak, and I'm going to get somebody else to speak. Pardon me?
No, I was saying we are too.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Okay, well, the Lord bless you. Well, I feel like this. May a double portion be upon you and your ministry as Elijah did Elisha. And that is my prayer for you, good brother.
God bless you. Our prayer is the same for you. All right.
Okay,
that's
so beautiful. Thank you. All right, thank you. Okay.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Okay. All right. All right.
All right, brothers and sisters, at this time, and this is a good reminder, tell other people about it. Tell other people about the broadcast, friends. And we appreciate Sister Lori. And I do agree she's going to be blessed. All right. My wife will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to come together and to have your word to be opened up into our hearts and our minds. And we pray now as your spirit continues to abide with us, we ask for the leading, direction, instruction, and guidance always to be given to us by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us time to have worship, and we want to keep Joshua in prayer. We know that this is the day when he gets departed away from his friends and family members who are praying for him and wishing him the best and these efforts. And Lord, we just pray that your loving protection would be with him as he goes on this six-month departure from his loved ones. And we just pray that to be with his fiance, I forget her name, but I know you know it, Lord. And we just ask that you will help the two of them during this time of separation to still be fond and loving towards one another and to keep each other supported. And Father, we pray that you would bless the gentleman that was on your son. We thank you for his time that he has been spending with us. We thank you for Sister Lori letting him be able to have given him the opportunity to know about us and just sharing this information with him. And we just pray that you would bless his life, the 77 years that you have given to him. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless Sister Lori in a special way. we know that there's things that she has gone through and is continuing to go through, but we know that you're carrying her through it all. And we just pray that she can feel your strength and know that you're guiding her and leading her. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless all the silent petitions, the ones that have not been requested. And we ask that you will do all that you can for deliverance and help and support. And just be with us, Lord, as we always strive to be faithful to you. And help us each to surrender on your day, this day of preparation. Help us to be ready for your holy Sabbath this evening at sundown, and we pray that we'll do all we can to usher and welcome it in, because this is your day, and we thank you, Lord, as we rejoice in it. All these things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you, and happy preparation day.
Our closing song is next, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will.